BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Hiya, Becky.
Hiya.
You alright?
Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, good. Decent weekend?
Yeah, it was good, thanks. I ate too much, as normal.
Yes. I thought that diet where you can eat everything and lose weight... What's happened to that?
Well, that doesn't include, like, cakes and biscuits and sweets and...
You told me you could eat everything.
I ate, like, 20 stuffing balls yesterday. Is that normal?
No, absolutely not.
They were quite big ones as well. I'd had a couple mid-afternoon when they'd gone cold. But the weirdest thing that happened to me over dinner yesterday was that my boyfriend's dad said that in 25 years' time, I would be like Joanna Lumley. Now, is that a compliment or not? Because around the dinner table, we weren't sure. See, I thought it was a compliment...
Yeah, is that a good or a bad thing?
Because she's hot?
Yeah, she's... I'll tell you what, for her age, she is hot stuff.
See?
Yeah. And if you think about it, like, back in the day, if you look at old pictures of her, she used to be smoking hot. And do they... They don't mean, like, you as a character in Absolutely Fabulous, do they?
Well, I don't know.
Because actually, I can see that.
Well, I hadn't had any wine.
Have you not?
No. But I quite like the thought of that.
I think it's your voice.
Is it?
Yes.
But she's really like, she's so calm about everything. Even when she's excited, she's like this. And I'm like, ah, it's a dog with his head out the window.
Ah, health and safety, do this, do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think you actually will turn into her in later life.
I'm not posh, though.
You are, though, a little bit. I think you're posher than you think you are. Do you know what I mean?
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
I'm very excited about this movie we're making now.
Are you?
Well, it's 3 weeks.
Have you done it yet?
No. But...
You were working very hard on it all weekend.
I was. I have decided that I might move into the movie business full time.
Yeah?
I quite like it. It's good. It's good fun.
What, just as a general kind of do this, do that person?
Yeah. We're starting to do some editing on all the footage that we've got. And we're sorting out a few codecs here and there.
Yeah.
I have no idea what that means.
Do you not? It's a portmanteau, isn't it?
I'm sorry?
It's a portmanteau.
What is that?
It's like two words put together and then the first bit of the first word and the second bit of the second word.
I have no idea.
Short for coda decoder.
Okay. Geek.
No?
I don't know.
Don't get yourself into these situations.
I don't know. Anyway, yeah, we've got an editor... on board, and he's sorting out the codecs. So this is how you can help me today. If anyone knows what he's talking about and understands codecs, then could you please let me know? Because he may as well be speaking Arabic. I've got no idea. So never done this before.
You're looking for a translator, basically?
Yeah.
From geek to normal?
Yeah, because I don't know. I've never made a film like this. But it is very exciting. It's a minefield of, like, new terminology and you know, new language. Do you know what I've had in my head all day, though?
What?
Especially after seeing her on X Factor last night. This.
Lady Gaga. Welcome to Radio 1's Big Weekend.
Joy of the Boo. That's very catchy, see? And that was Nat, one of our listeners, who helped us make the Enjoy the Boob song for the bit when Lady Gaga appears in the movie, because, yeah, she's in it. More details on how you can help us, because we've only got 3 weeks, and I want your input. Everyone needs to get involved in this, because I haven't got a clue what I'm doing with my codex.
The Scott Mills Daily.
So you are helping us with every single bit of this Radio 1 movie. We're all in this together, and thank you if you have got in touch and offered up your help so far. Loads and loads of people have. Nat just auto-tuned that Enjoy the Boob clip, which we just played. Thank you, Nat. We've had hundreds of people on. We asked you to do miming and send in videos if you're any good at miming along to songs. We've got loads of those. Thank you. We needed some people who could do good jazz hands, because every movie needs a good jazz hand or two. So we've got loads of those.
Yeah.
And then...
One's just waving.
Yeah, that's true. And then the other day, we asked for some help with animation for our film, because we've only got 3 weeks to do this, and we don't know what we're doing. We've never done animation before, but quite a few people got in touch. Who's been on?
A lecturer's been on. He thought instead of planning the lecture, he'd just use this as his teaching bit.
All right, so we're helping him as well a bit.
Yeah. He's getting his second year students from the University of the Creative Arts in Farnham. So they're working on it as we speak, and then I should have a rough edit tonight.
Really?
And then you get to approve it, and then they get sent back to correct the bits you don't like.
What's the class again?
University for the Creative Arts in Farnham. They're second year animator students.
Second year animators, University of Creative Arts, Farnham. Thank you so much for agreeing to do this. It's quite a lot of work, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. I was hoping that Bob Pixar himself from Pixar would have been on, but that's brilliant in a way because they're nearer.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're only like the Hampshire.
It's an hour on the train, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah,
here,
yeah,
so.
Brilliant. Some more help that we do need today. It's a slightly technical one, this. Is anyone listening any good at Photoshop?
Oh, you're not really asking for this, are you?
Or one of those programmes that do the same thing. Why?
I thought you were joking when you said you wanted to be thinner.
No. I always want to be thinner on photos.
That's going to take ages.
How rude.
No, I mean, like, of all the different shots of you, if they've got to go through and thin them all up.
I was going to say. Yeah, well, I am in the movie a fair bit. But, you know, we've got to touch up some other people as well.
I can do that if you want, because I do a lot of my stuff. Paint.
I don't want paint.
You can't tell, though.
You can really tell.
You can't.
You can.
Look at some of those pictures on your Facebook page. You can never tell that they've been done in paint.
You can, because it's just you drawing over the top of them. I'd need something a bit more technical than that, really.
If you squint a bit.
Yeah, that's not good enough. So if anyone's good at Photoshop or any other programme like that, then please get in touch with me. The best thing to do is email me, scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. It isn't to make me thinner, by the way. We need it for another idea that we've got.
But if you do want to send me, just for my personal laugh, a before and after picture of Scott fat and thin, I would appreciate it.
Yeah. So if you are any good at Photoshop or any of those other programmes, then let me know, scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. Send me an email. We need your help to make this film.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1. This is Scott Mills. We've got Tim Minchin coming up at 5 o'clock tonight. Hope your Monday was all right-ish. It didn't really get light today from where I was. It's kind of like dark all day. Now, what are you normally doing between 1 and 4 in the morning on an average Friday morning?
Asleep?
Yeah?
What are you doing?
Well,
no, I'm very excited. I wake up extra early because I think, wow, today's the day, it's the last day of the week and I get to listen to Wonder Years, I'm ready for the weekend.
No, you're asleep, aren't you?
Yeah.
I'm normally leaving Mahiki about then. Normally.
Who's that?
It's a club, yeah.
Oh, right.
With Frankie.
Your friend?
With Frankie Kikoza.
Sounds like one of those friends you've got.
What?
Mahiki?
What friends I've got?
I don't know, he sounds hot.
I haven't got any friends. Oh, right. What, one of my hot friends?
Yeah.
Do you think I've got hot friends?
Yeah.
Do you? Do you?
Some of them are all right.
Oh. No, Mahiki's not a friend, it's a club. That I would never go to in a million years. But let's just say I have been there with Frankie Kikoza and Two Shoes. And I'm in a cab on the way home. And I get the cab to tune in to One Extra if they have a digital radio in the taxi, which normally they don't, to be honest.
Not those ones you hire.
No, really not. Not my local firm.
You're lucky if you've got fabric on the back seat.
You're lucky if you've got doors. I was in one the other day from my house. Like, seriously?
When we went to that awards ceremony.
I'd like to be able to open the window.
And you said to me, I'll come pick you up in the taxi. I was expecting, I was like, yeah, Scott's organised this. It's going to be lush.
No.
It was like screeched around the corner, no seat belts. It was brilliant.
Yeah. That's how I roll. Anyway, so One Extra is on in the cab on the way home from Mahiki on the digital radio that they normally don't have. But there's a good show on at that time, 1 till 4, Friday morning on One Extra, and it's Young Lion doing his dancehall mix. You should have a listen. Now, there is some strong language. It's a bit blue, so...
yes. Now, what time is it on again?
1 till 4, Friday morning, BBC Radio One Extra. But like I say, it's not for the faint-hearted. He does know some really dirty jokes. And
you can get it on iPlayer.
Yeah, you can, yeah.
Oh, brilliant, I might have a listen.
There's probably some kind of parental guidance warning on it, though. But he has a lot of fun on this show. He loves it so much, Young Lion does. So much that he makes a strange noise sometimes, I've noticed, which is a bit like this.
What?
Yeah.
What, on air?
Yeah, yeah, a lot. So, to give you an example of this, I've taken Young Lion from last Friday morning's show on One Extra. This is an easy 10 Scott Mills points for you if you want to have a guess. How many times did Young Lion get excited on his show about the music and go, last Friday? This is all from one show. We haven't edited this in any way. This is just from one show by Young Lion on One Extra.
Okay, 3 hours. I'm going to say six.
Six?
Yeah, he needed to lie down after that, surely.
He does get excited, I'll warn you now. You're sticking with six.
Yeah.
Play along at home. Let's find out. Here's Young Lion from One Extra.
Young Lion is in the building. Okay, let's go in. Oh! Fizzy. Oh! Young Lion, we are going in. Wow. Girl. Oh! We take out the bass. Because when we bring it back,
one show and we didn't repeat the same ones. That's how many he did over the space of 3 hours on One Extra. 19. And when we bring it back,
it's when he's going in and he does the
I think I need to add this to my repertoire. So Young Lion, 1 till 4 on a Friday morning on One Extra.
The Scott Mills Daily.
John in York has been on saying he's doing a roar because he's a young lion. That's not a roar. That's a... Imagine if you're watching The Lion King and Simba just started going...
No.
That'd be weird. That's not a roar. That's not a good enough excuse.
The Scott Mills Daily.
And here is our friend Tim Minchin on Radio 1.
Hi there.
Hi, Scott.
How are you?
I don't know why we're doing that, but it's good. It was good radio for a second there, and now we're back to boring old me.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm really well. Thank you so much for having me on your radio show this afternoon.
That is not a problem. You're always welcome.
Oh, okay.
Now, you've just come back from America, haven't you?
I have. Been in New York and did a show in Chicago as well, and it was beautiful and autumnal, and the sky was blue, and the marathon was on, and I watched all the people run the marathon and thought, oh, I'm so fat. And, and to compensate, I went and had some gnocchi straight after.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you love it? Did they love it?
Yeah, this is my first. I've played in New York quite a bit over the years, but this I played the New York Town Hall, which is a theatre right in Times Square. It's 1400. So it's proper. It's my first proper New York show, and it was just so much fun.
Was there anywhere in America where they were a bit shocked by what you do? Because I imagine in some parts of America, you might not be to everyone's taste, Tim.
Yeah. Well, the weird thing is, contrary to what you might think, the further into the heartland of conservative America you go, the more the people who come to my show are, like, rabid on my side.
Oh, really?
Because if you live in Dallas, Texas, which is the place where I tried to hire a piano, and the guy wrote an email, sort of hate email, saying, from the guy who owned the piano, saying, we don't want demons in Texas. And it had a lot of exclamation marks and underlining, you know, that slightly mentally unhinged thing that people do. So that it's there, right? And on the day I was there, is it Taylor Swift? Is that the name of a country singer? She sold 50,000 seats at the local thing, and the local football team was there, you know, where they all gather together at the beginning of the game to pray and stuff. So it was that sort of culture. But the people coming to my show are people who have more my worldview, and as a result, they're desperate. They're in a drought of people.
Yeah, because they don't have anything like it.
They don't have anything like it. So actually, my Dallas show is probably the most enthusiastic audience I've ever had when I played the Pope song or whatever.
Yeah. Mm. I always think it must be quite a lonely life on the road being a comedian. Because only if you're in a band, you're kind of going around the world, and you're in a band, so you've got other people, and you've got your musicians.
And
with you, that's probably not the case, is it?
No, especially in the States, because I'm at a lower level of, you know, I don't play with orchestras and stuff like I do here. It's just me and my tour manager, Grizzly Adams, and he's not his real name, but that's what I call him, and because he's got quite hairy arms. And I don't know. I guess it's lonely, but in my normal life, I have a wife and kids and lovely friends and stuff. So going out on the road's sort of a quite reasonably nice experience. Sometimes after the show, you're sitting in a bar having a drink with your tour manager, thinking, "Oh, this is a bit sad," but he's a very nice man, so we're fine.
So you're almost friends.
We are buddies. You know, it's like a prison being on tour. You just take what you got.
What do you do when you're not doing a show? Do you ever get a chance to look around where you are, or do you just stay in the hotel?
Very rarely, unfortunately. I see a lot of airports and theatres. Mm. You know, I was in New York for a full week this week and got to go to see a lot of New York, but I've seen a lot of that before. But unfortunately, not. I went to Boulder, Colorado on my last tour, and that was beautiful. But again, I didn't exactly get out into the nature reserves. I just saw some village sort of stuff.
I think if that was me, I would just stay in, get the room service on, and watch TV, because that's what I do when I go away.
Dude, I don't think...
Bad TV.
I never turn a telly on in a hotel room. How weird is that?
Oh,
it's not really weird, because I don't turn tellies on at home either. Yeah,
I'm the opposite.
That's all you do, is you go
not all I do.
Dr. Phil for 2 weeks.
I do like a bit of Dr. Phil.
Phil, he's a brilliant man.
Isn't he?
What could he... Really, there's no advice you need in life that doesn't come out of that man's... Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've got a DVD coming out, and this is the show where you did it with a full orchestra.
Yeah, a big symphony orchestra.
Which must have been so incredible.
It was incredible. It was very nerve-wracking because I didn't really know what that would be like, and I worked reasonably hard to try and create something that justified the orchestra's presence rather than, you know, pop stars sometimes have an orchestra but they're basically just sort of sitting behind. But I tried to write some songs that really involved them. And the Heritage Orchestra, this young, cool, you know, they all piled onto a bus and got drunk and toured like a rock band, while I sort of did the boring version because I lose my voice otherwise. And it was epic. And then we did the O2, which was just stupidly cool in a sort of hard to get your head around way. But then eventually we did a couple of nights at the Royal Albert Hall, the first of which was on the day of the royal wedding. So in my head it was like the alternative royal event. And and we taped it and we're putting it on DVD. And it's, you know, I'll never watch the thing because I can't stand the sight of my own head. But
do you not watch yourself?
No, can't do it.
Why?
Awful.
Why is it awful?
Awful head, awful voice, awful jokes, awful,
no.
Awful stuff. However, my opinion is not necessarily the right one to listen to.
That's not the way to sell your DVD. No.
Well, the thing is that my DVD is not for people who think I have an awful head.
No, obviously not.
So
no.
I'm being honest, I'm one of those people. Mm-hmm. Right?
But if you don't think Tim Mitchell's got an awful head, then it's for you.
Or even if you think it's an awful head, but it doesn't particularly bother you, that's awful. Whereas for me, the fact that I think I've got an awful head, is that's a problem for me. Daily. I get enough of my head, so to speak.
When you're playing somewhere as massive as the O2, where there's like people who are like little pins up there in the gods, do you ever think to yourself, just before you go on, how did this happen?
I think that when I'm paying 200 people, you know, yeah, I mean, and but absolutely, because I come out on a scissor lift, surrounded by dry ice and stuff in that show, and that moment squatting under the stage, waiting on a scissor lift with like three techies surrounding you, Mr. Minchin, you're right. Who's Mr. Minchin? But you do have this moment where you. Your brain tries to take in...
Process it,
and then just gives up. and you just go, well, I guess I just go and do my show. And
then before you know it, you're on the scissor lift, you're rising up.
And then there's this moment where you are totally scared, and then you start playing, and then it's like, oh, I know what this is.
I know what I'm doing now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's why I always start my shows with a big number, because by the time you're done with that, you've drained your adrenaline.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, but it was an amazing thing. But yeah. You don't really, it's not like doing a gig. You can't really connect with the crowd. It's a performance.
Yeah.
Which is why I got an orchestra and lots of lights and dry ice, because I wanted to give people a show.
You know? With the orchestra, did you speak to them, or was it a bit like Lady Gaga, where there was a special area for you away from them?
Yeah, I had a clause in my rider, in my contract, that said if anyone got within 5 feet of me, I was allowed to punch them in their stupid classical music faces.
Yeah. No, quite right too.
It was quite weird for me not knowing them all personally, because playing with musos on stage, they usually very quickly become your friends or enemies. And I just didn't get a chance. There's 60 people on stage, and I didn't get a chance to know them all. But we did tour a table tennis table, and there was an ongoing bet that if you beat me at table tennis, you'd get 50 quid. And so I got to know the people who were up for a bit of table tennis.
And did you learn anything you didn't know about orchestras, like, I don't know...
What, the names of the instruments?
Well, no.
Which is, literally, I don't know what half the instruments are.
Really?
Well, I could have taken a stab, but I would have got a few wrong. Right. Yeah, I'm not really...
I meant more like, you know, trombone players are the biggest drinkers, last in the bar. People who play the drums normally have bad personal hygiene.
Female cello players are the alcoholics.
Are they?
Experience, yeah. Really? It's just something. Oh, cello players. I mean, really, it's so erotic.
Yeah.
You know. I'm telling the truth.
Yeah.
It's just the position and the.
I don't think I've ever met a cello player. Am I missing out?
Matt Fincham from the Chris Moyle Show.
Is he a cello player?
Yeah.
He's not erotic.
Well.
Anyway.
Well, look, I'm probably being sexist, but it's for me, as a heterosexual, for me, it's not the males.
Mm. Right. And they do like a drink.
Oh, yeah. Mm. I mean, classical musos are incredibly perverted.
Right.
Because they've grown up having to do all this practice and to be disciplined and stuff, and you don't have to scratch the surface very hard to find these disgusting sexual perverts. Luckily, I didn't stay in the same hotels as them, because I wouldn't want to know what they get up to.
Right.
55 of them.
Yeah. With their oboes.
Yeah. One time on Bandcamp. It is a bit like that.
It really is. Yeah. God.
But they were wicked. They're just the best.
You did right to stay in a different hotel, though. All sorts could have happened.
Well,
you're a married man.
Do you know what the trouble is? If I was staying in a hotel with an orchestra who are all having drinks, I wouldn't go to bed. And if I don't go to bed, I lose my voice. And if I lose my voice, I don't get to go to the Royal Albert Hall and put out a DVD, which you should buy now for Christmas.
That's right. Can we play a cheese song, please, from the DVD?
Sure, yeah. I've got this stupid 7-minute song about cheese that ranges from funk to a Parisian waltz to a meatloaf rock song. And I get to play guitar in it. I mean, it really is the stupidest thing anyone's ever made, maybe. Probably not.
Let's hear it.
C H E E S E. Cheese. It's plain to see that cheese doesn't love me. I am such a fool in love, I just cannot get enough. But it's an unrequited love, I can feel it in my guts. I spend my nights tossing and turning, my stomach is churning, my heart is a burning, my nightmares are turning upon me and shaming to drive me insane. All the pain of blue veins. Sweat on my brow, I know I gotta give it up and I gotta do it now, but instead in the morning when my is gone. I find myself back on cheeseworld.com. And I know that it's wrong, but I'm soon navigating to the real mature stuff. Funky old ladies feeding my fetish for fettered old feta. Photos of Frisian on beds of bruschetta. And the worse they smell, the more they sweat. The faster the speed my mouth gets wet.
Mmm, cheese.
Yeah.
Oh, I love cheese. We love cheese also.
I can't go a day without it.
No.
Cheese.
A day?
Yeah. Could you do it every day?
No.
Could you do a cheese? You couldn't do a cheese-free day?
No.
CFD?
Could you do it? Everyone has cheese every day, don't they?
No.
No one has cheese every day.
They don't, Becky.
Oh, except you. You have cheese every day.
Yeah, I do.
That's something.
Tim Minchin is with us. Now, a piano has arrived. Well, a keyboard has arrived.
Yeah, it's a thing.
And it's a thing. And would you do us a song in a minute?
Yeah.
Because I think it's Christmas, you see, so we do need White Wine in the Sun. Because nothing says Christmas like that song.
I think, really, it should be an official proclamation from government level that the Christmas season hasn't begun until I've played my rambling song.
Well, it's just, you know, it's a tradition on this show now that that's
I didn't
when,
know that you played it on this show. That's really great.
That's
you.
When Christmas begins.
Right.
The thing is, right, there are no... I think yours is the only song which is a hot Christmas song. Because otherwise, the others are, let it snow, let it snow.
Yeah.
And what I find weird in places like Australia or you know, hot, places that are hot at Christmas, they don't change it. I was in Africa last year, and all the Christmas cards still...
Well, the weather outside is frightful.
Yes, and the Christmas cards still have Santa in the snow and the snow on the rooftops.
Totally. We did all that. And there's this sort of cultural drift towards funny jokes, cards with Santa in board shorts, and eventually that gets annoying, and you just regress to the European imagery.
Yeah. But apart from your one, there are no hot Christmas songs. I mean, obviously, Rihanna will make an album of them eventually.
Yeah.
Probably next week.
Well, I hope so. Now that you've said it, she will. She loves a challenge.
She does. And she can turn them out really quickly.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Emma in Manchester's been on.
She's a cellist, yeah.
Yeah, she says it's absolutely true about female cellists. They are dirty as.
Perverts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not an exception. There is no exception to that rule.
Yeah. And no one seems to disagree, actually. People that know cello players always,
same. Cellists, parents of cellists.
Yeah, they're all...
Children of cellists,
all on,
disgusting.
Right. Now, let's talk about your musical, because do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, you remember. We were in the process of writing Scott Mills the musical at the
same
time.
What was that about then?
Well, the same time that you were writing one. And now yours is on in London's busy West End, and ours has been completely forgotten about.
I just think that's a travesty.
I know. I mean, ours just didn't transfer to the West End or anywhere.
It's too good for the West End. It's all just pop, you know, something
nonsense.
That is true, as truly artistic as Scott Mills, a musical. It was you shouldn't let the West End judge something like that. It's beyond it.
It wasn't meant to be, was it?
No.
On that occasion. You know, with Matilda, though, obviously it's Roald Dahl. Are you a big fan of his?
Yeah, I was, very much so. Matilda came out late, so I didn't really know that one until my little sister started reading it. But, BFG was probably my biggest, and Danny, champion of the world.
Is it terrifying, though, doing music for something like Matilda? Because, obviously, it's such a loved story. They love it so much. What if you mess it up?
I think I should have been terrified, maybe, but I just didn't think about that because I was such a fan of Dahl and felt... Mm. I didn't feel confident, but I felt it felt natural to me to set about the task. It wasn't that I was thinking, what would everyone else do or what would Roald think of this? I just went, oh, I think I know what to do here. And the thing is, if you tell a story well, what Dahl was, he was dark, he was funny, and he knew how to tell a story. So everything else is by the by. You've got to be dark, you've got to be funny, and you've got to tell a cracking yarn. And I think we've, from all reports, we seem to have managed that.
Yeah, people love it.
Yeah, people are being really nice.
Yeah.
I hope they keep being nice for 5 years and I can buy a jet.
Yeah, well, that's the natural thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, the art is what matters, but a jet comes a close
second. A jet would be good. Yeah. Or a yacht.
A yacht would be good, although it's hard to fly in a yacht, but yeah.
That's true. Okay.
What are you talking about, Scott?
So Christmas is coming up. Where will you be?
Lancashire.
Really?
Weirdly enough. Yeah, I've got family friends in Lancashire and we're going to go visit them.
I'm not sure. I mean, obviously, you've spent a few in Australia. Uh-huh. I find a hot Christmas weird.
Yeah, but hot Christmases find you weird, Scott.
Yeah.
yeah, I guess even as an Australian, the understanding of Christmas is still of snowflakes on pine trees. It's ridiculous because we are European in our heritage. So the Christmas traditions are still totally loaded up with this kind of European stuff. So I get that it would be weird. Having said that, for me, the Christmas party, the family is so connected to the idea of seafood on the barbecue and all those cliches. And going to the, we go to the beach on Christmas morning and just have a swim, go home, crack open the champers. It's wicked.
It's quite good, though, as well.
Here I start sounding Australian when I describe it. Go home, crack open the champers, put a shrimp on the barbie.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we need to start Christmas now because this is going to be a moment for all of us in the studio and you listening. Stop whatever you're doing, please, because Tim is about to do white wine in the sun and then we know Christmas is official. I'm going to put some echo on you there, Tim.
All right.
Hello. All right, okay. White wine in the sun. It's Christmas.
I really like Christmas. It's sentimental, I know, but I just really like it. I am hardly religious. I'd rather break bread with Dawkins than Desmond Tutu, to be honest. And yes, I have all of the usual objections to consumerism, to the commercialization of an ancient religion, to the westernization of a dead Palestinian press ganged into selling PlayStations and beer. But I still really like him. I'm looking forward to Christmas, though I'm not expecting a visit from Jesus. I'll be seeing my dad, my brother and sisters, my gran and my mum. They'll be drinking white wine in the sun. I don't go in for ancient wisdom. I don't believe just 'cause ideas are tenacious, it means that they're worthy. I get freaked out by churches. Some of the hymns that they sing have nice chords, but the lyrics are dodgy. And yes, I have all of the usual objections to the miseducation of children who in tax-exempt institutions are taught to externalize blame and to feel ashamed and to judge things as plain right or wrong. But I quite like the songs. Not expecting big presents. The old combination of socks, jocks, and chocolates is just fine by me. 'Cause I'll be seeing my dad, my brother and sisters, my gran and my mum. They'll be drinking white wine in the sun. I'll be seeing my dad, my brother and sisters, my gran and my mum. They'll be drinking white wine in the sun. And you, my baby girl, my jet-lagged infant daughter, you'll be handed round the room like a puppy at a primary school, and you won't understand, but you will learn someday that wherever you are and whatever you face, these are the people who make you feel safe in this world, my sweet blue-eyed girl. And if my baby girl, when you're 21 or 31 and Christmas comes around, and you find yourself 9,000 miles from home, you'll know whatever comes. Your brothers and sisters and me and your mom, we'll be waiting for you in the sun when Christmas comes. Your brothers and sisters, your aunts and your uncles, your grandparents, cousins, and me and your mom, we'll be waiting for you in the sun, drinking white wine in the sun. Darling, whenever you come, we'll be waiting for you in the sun, waiting. I really like Christmas. It's sentimental, I know.
Now it's Christmas.
It's Christmas.
It's Christmas officially.
Okay.
Yeah.
Buy stuff. Go and buy stuff. It's Christmas.
Pete in Essex has been on saying, you might not like your head, but that is the best Christmas song ever.
Oh.
Despite your awful head.
Yeah. Look, I quite like that Christmas song too, but it does nothing for my appreciation of my own aesthetic.
Does it not?
Does it? No. I look at myself in the mirror, I think, you wrote quite a nice Christmas song, you weird-looking person.
Tim, it's lovely to see you again.
Thanks so much for having me on. It's always really great.
Thank you. Tim Minchin, everybody. Thank you.
BBC Radio 1. BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.